10cc. Check out this story. A woman shockingly claims to have made contact with aliens after a bizarre incident in which a flaming UFO, quotes, reportedly followed her car. The woman said she and her 10-year-old son encountered an object that was following them along a rural roadway in Missouri. She claimed a flaming UFO followed above her car before shooting off and stopping in front of them. It was at this point she attempted to speak to the crew of the UFO. Check out the story right now. The full article is over at coasttocoastam.com in the news section. All right, our guest tonight, Chad Kalik. We're going to open up the phone lines right now. We're going to do this for the next hour. Your phone calls with Chad are next. Stay with us. All right, welcome back. A little slip of the finger there. Didn't mean to run that again, but we did. All right, I'm your host, Jimmy Church. This is Coast to Coast AM. Our guest tonight is Chad Kalik. Now, his new film is Sir No Face, where it looks like we have finally, for the first time, caught a full-bodied apparition on tape. Before I get to the phone calls, Chad, where did the name Sir No Face come from?
It was actually a combination of names. The entity, as Craig Powell pointed out to me, revealed itself in a unique way that, again, is explained in the film. Craig actually explains it as Sir, and that's what I began answering to. And the No Face title came from, there was multiple clips that I was looking at. So when we would reference them, we would each call them by certain names, and the entity, the apparition, it has the contours of the human face, but not the ultra detailed, details of the human face. So we started calling it the No Face footage. So just through back and forth and referencing it, we started calling it Sir No Face. And it just stuck. And it is now, it's kind of interesting, it's universally kind of called this now, where we have heard accounts where people have showed up to the island, to the staff working there, saying that they want to see where Sir No Face lives, which is pretty cool.
Well, yeah, because what I'm picturing here, and what is really creepy, is no nose, no eyes, no mouth. Is that what's going on ultimately?
Yeah, but with the contours, with the bends, but not the detail. Yeah, when you see it, like it's, God, it's so hard to explain. But yeah, similar to what you're talking about, it is terrifying.
Yeah, that is.
There is one girl who specifically, if you watch in the trailer, you can see her kind of fall back, and she goes, "This is the scariest things." She goes, "The scariest thing I've ever seen." She goes, "Oh God, the face, the face."
All right, let's go to the phones. Let's go west of the Rockies. Let's go to Devin in Goose Bay, Oregon. You're up first on Coast tonight, Devin. Welcome.
Oh, wow. Hey, it's great to finally talk to you. I'm a first-time caller.
Very cool, Devin. What have you got for Chad tonight?
Okay, well, first up, it's, I got two questions. First, how would you deal with a ghost? Besides actually trying to debunk the whole thing that it might actually not be a ghost, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
It could not be a ghost, but if it turns out it is, how would you deal with it?
Well, deal with it, do you mean, like, to me it would depend on the situation. Is it threatening? If it wasn't threatening, then I probably would allow it to coexist, personally.
Like, sir.
Cool with that.
Like, sir.
Oh, sir.
Friendly.
One at a time, guys.
Sorry, sir is a unique one, and I wish Craig was here to speak on it. I might have to give. We'll try to set that up with you, Jimmy. At time to talk to him.
Sure.
Sir was a unique one because it appears to be tied to that property, for sure. Like we're pretty positive of that. At least Craig and his team are. And while sir can be terrifying, it is not on record of harming anybody. So in that situation, I don't see any reason why it should have to go or anybody should make an attempt to make it leave, per se.
So that's how you would deal with it. You would just let it do its thing.
I would, because I have such a fascination with it. I think there's so much we can learn from documenting and studying it.
Right.
You know, it's just kind of like if an alien landed, there are people in this world that would just assume shoot it, you know what I mean, before they ask it a question out of terror, you know what I mean?
Right, right.
I'm the other guy. I'm the guy that would knock on the alien, the UFO door, you know, and say, hey, what's going on in here, you know what I mean? So that's how I would handle it personally. I would try to learn as much as I could from it.
Devin, you said you had a second question.
Yeah, familiar spirits and summoning ghosts. I don't, considering the stories I've been hearing, that sounds like a bad idea.
I'm sorry, can you repeat the question again?
Well, what would you say about actually summoning ghosts? I once thought it would be a nice idea to summon a friendly ghost, sort of as a protector or a friend, a companion.
Yeah, Devin, great question. And Chad, we sort of addressed this earlier, but summoning a ghost, is that a good idea?
I would say no. Again, you don't know who that spirit is. And if you're inviting it into your life in some way, once you give it permission to come into your life, if you don't want it there, now you are you know, stuck with the problem of getting it out of your life.
Sure.
So it depends on also what you mean by summoning. To some degree, when I go ghost hunting and I'm provoking and things like that, I am summoning it in the sense that I'm trying to document it. But I also have a clear line that I draw. I'm not inviting anything, you know, to come home with me or to coexist and have a lasting relationship with me. I'm trying to document a short instance of experience. I don't think that inviting anything into your life as a companion, as you just kind of outlined, my personal opinion is that I think it's an unsafe practice.
What about summoning somebody that you knew, right?
Yeah,
your mom, your dad, grandma, grandpa?
Yeah, I think that's a totally different scenario. I mean, to me, to me, praying is the same in a lot of ways as summoning. I have a grandfather that was very, very close to me that to this day, I still pray to him. And I do it in a fashion where I speak to him, not verbally, but in my mind as though he's in the room with me.
Right.
You know? And to some degree, that's kind of the same thing. And we're talking about intention here, you know? And when you're talking about a lost family member or somebody you love, there's pure intention, you know? I mean, you're wanting to speak to a specific person that you know. That's who you're asking to speak and pray to. In my opinion, I think that's a safe practice.
Yeah, well, and you still don't know, really, ultimately. You don't know. Let's go east of the Rockies. Rick from Indianapolis, Naptown. Rick, you're up next.
Okay, thanks. I wanted to tell a story, more or less just get an opinion. When I was about 7, my mom, back to the Ouija board, would play with my oldest brother. He was like 11. And she told me how it made the phrase, "We regret to inform you the following are going to die," and it started listening to all us kids.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I had one brother, 15 later, years later, he was killed.
Wow.
Was somebody cut in front of his motorcycle. My other brother in 2010 was killed by a heavy machinery.
Wow.
But in that same house, this guy would come to the back door, overcoat, flat brim hat, asking for my brother.
Wow.
I don't know why he came to the back door. We had stuff flying, where bottles flew all across the room, trying to hit my brother in the head. My mom found my sleeping bag under the kitchen table with about 4 pints of blood in it. We don't know where that came from.
This was in Indianapolis?
This wasn't Indianapolis. This was just north of Detroit where I lived.
Okay.
Okay, did you say that there was a person or an entity with a flat brim hat?
Yes. It was a long overcoat, and I asked her to describe it. It was like a skinny, gaunt face, she said, and it was a flat brim black hat. He came to the back door.
Yeah.
And asked for Chuck.
Clearly, you clearly you know, opened yourself up to a negative entity entering through somebody. Somebody that was using that board became a conduit. Somebody asked and truly allowed themselves to be a conduit. And it sounds as though something, yeah, negative responded.
Hey, Rick, what happened to the Ouija board?
I don't know what happened to it. I was like 7 at the time, but I remember some of the stuff, like one time sitting at the table one day and looking at the back window, and I could see a shadow of a guy standing there, but I opened up, there was no one there.
Wow.
Did the shadow have the brim hat too?
It had the hat. And I heard on our past show talk about that hat man.
Yeah, well, the hat is very common in both shadow people, but also, that's why I'm asking about the hat, and also in negative spirits.
Yeah.
No one really knows why, but it's commonly reported of the hat is often reported.
Hey, Rick, let me ask you, when you guys moved from Detroit to Indianapolis, did the entity follow you or did it just stop?
Well, I don't live in Indianapolis, I've got a truck, but we happened to see my mom, for one thing, where we used to live there, her and a friend, sometime after we were driving down this road, it was pouring rain near a swamp area, and she saw the same guy standing at the side of the road just staring as she went by. And then we saw him one more time in Oklahoma outside a cemetery just staring at us. We went by, and then that's the last time we saw him.
Wow, Rick. Chad, it sounds like his mom did the attracting here.
Yeah, you took the words right out of my mouth, which is similar to my scenario in my family. Yeah, someone is a conduit. Someone is connected to this thing. And until they find a way to, not be a willing participant, then, you know, bad things have a tendency to happen.
Rick, thank you for the phone call, my friend. Great experiences there. Chad, I wanted to ask you before I get to the next call, are there attachments to physical things? And if there are, what do you do with them? Can you just throw them away? Or is that just urban legend?
Yeah, the thing is, in my experience, I have witnessed attachment to locations and people. That doesn't mean that it's impossible for an object to carry some sort of spiritual value to it that could either incite an emotion or incite a person to feel a certain way. It's hard for me to fully say that I believe in like a haunted doll or something like that.
Right.
Usually it's location based, which is often due to unatoned tragedy, or something grave that happened that there's an active effort to suppress it, sweep it under the rug, forget about it.
Right.
Spirits are not allowing that to happen. Which is where you get a lot of the negative hauntings. And people are, you know, there's far more haunted people than I think there are haunted locations. And as far as objects, as far as, you know, if I came across an object and I thought it was haunted, I don't know that I would burn it. I don't know that I would, I mean, I would do a lot of research. I'd get a lot of second, third, fourth opinions on what that object could be. And then I would probably trace that belief system back and say, how did this belief system that surrounds this object, how would they have gotten rid of this object?
Fascinating.
I don't think it's smart to just burn something. No, I don't think that's, I wouldn't do it at least.
Right, you know? Right. Well, I'll take your advice on that. Let's go to the first time caller line, Teresa in Gulfport, Mississippi. Teresa, you're up next. We're heading towards a break here. So what do you have for Chad?
Okay, thank you so much for taking my call, Mr. Church. Chad, I was having to stay at my mother's house for several weeks a few years ago, and I was staying in a bedroom, and I sleep on my left side, so I was facing the wall. And the first night, it felt like something touched my back.
Okay.
Well, when you're in an old house in the South during the summer, the first thing you think of is flying cockroach. So I jiggle my night clothes in the covers, and I just forgot about it. Well, about two nights later, I was lying there again, and I was wide awake because I'd just gone to bed about that same time. And all of a sudden, I felt like something had approached from the back and slid a hand between my arm and my body, my torso. And I waved my arm to the back and didn't feel anything. And the first thing I thought was, maybe I did fall asleep. So I waited a few minutes, and I could feel something coming back again. And I didn't know what to do, so out loud, I just said, go away. I don't want you here. I don't know you. I don't want to know you. And I said a Hail Mary out loud, and I was never bothered again.
Teresa, you know how creepy of a story that is? That's creepy.
It was creepy. It scared me.
Yeah, absolutely. Chad, is she surprising you with anything right now?
No, what's amazing about her story is 95% of the time, you can get hauntings, the activity, to suppress by simply speaking to it with conviction and belief.
Right.
Like she did.
Right.
If we believe that human beings have energy that transfers, okay, a fundamental principle of science, you cannot create or destroy energy, it can only be transferred. So if we believe it transfers, then we're going to accept a ghost or a spirit as a definition as being like humans but without the body, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's like anything else. If someone walked in your house, like in her situation, and someone walked in your house and started throwing things around your house with conviction and belief, you'd go, hey, stop it. That you know, you're not going to do that here. It's the same thing as what she's talking about. Something touches her in a way that she's uncomfortable with, and she says, listen, with belief and conviction, you know, you cannot do that. That's it. You're done. Not allowed. Out. Most of the time, that is enough.
Teresa, thank you for the phone call. I wanted to ask you, Chad, though. That's easy for you to say. You're a big guy, right? You're a big guy. But if you're speaking to somebody that's 100 pounds, male or female, you know, that isn't used to being intimidating in life, then maybe they can't do it.
100%. You know, it's funny, although, you know, I am 6'2", and 300 plus pounds, believe me, I can tell you that I suffered from myoclonic jerk syndrome, which is a byproduct of terrible fear and stress, specifically at night. And I also went through a good 5 or 6 years that I was terrified of the dark, especially leaving and going to college. And part of my ghost hunting journey was to overcome those fears and to prove that I was not going to let this thing essentially turn me into this walking figment of who I should be. You know what I mean?
I do. I have to jump in. I'm sorry, Chad. I didn't mean to step on you there, but we've got to take a break right here. Our guest tonight is Chad Kalick. We're talking about his film, Sir No Face, and all of your phone calls are next. Stay with us. This is Coast to Coast AM. Finally, there's a dating and friendship site to meet others with our interest. That's right. Find your match that shares those interests in the paranormal, science, life after death, ghost stories, Bigfoot, UFOs, alternative medicine, and of course, conspiracy theories. Paranormal Date is now approaching 65,000 members. It's completely free to check out. And right now, just go and use the promo code George. Paranormal Date is also available free on iOS and Android apps. And when you're there, go to the companion site, conspiracydate.com. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. This is Coast to Coast AM. Our guest tonight, Chad Kalick. He's hanging out for this last hour just to take your phone calls. Stay right there. Your phone calls with Chad are next. Welcome back to Coast AM. Chad, you ready to continue hitting these phones?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Let's do it. Let's go to Wildcard Jory in Gulfport, Mississippi. Second phone call tonight from Gulfport. Jory, you're up next.
Oh, I am here.
Yes, Jory. What have you got for Chad?
Yeah, Jimmy. Thanks. Chad, first thing I'd like to do is to bear my testimony about the spirit world. I have had many experiences with the unembodied and disembodied. But the real reason I called tonight was because you were talking about Ouija boards. And I have an experience where the spirits on the Ouija board lied to me. most definitely lied to me.
Well, Jory, this is the thing when it comes to a Ouija board. You never know who is on the other side. Chad, you've said that so many times tonight.
Yeah.
They will lie to you. Yeah.
Absolutely. Remember, unless it's somebody that is very close to you and loves you and cares about you, you know, whoever's answering has no loyalty to you. They have no reason to be loyal to you. They have no reason to be honest with you. It would just be like the average stranger off the street.
Right.
You know, sure, the average person could be a good person and they'll just do whatever. But, you know, your chances of something negative happening are strong. You know, it definitely. You don't know who it is.
Let's go to the West Coast. Let's go to Elder in Pasadena, California. Elder, you're up next. What part of Pasadena? You're right down the street from us.
We're from Old Town.
Old Town, like the Loch Ness Monster Pub, Old Town?
No. Like Old Town, Pasadena. We're 5 minutes away from there.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, from personal experience, I mean, there was a time where I fell asleep in Old Town with my wife, and I saw a grace on my backside. And it just felt so weird. I mean, it was the middle of the night. It was exactly the same time every day.
What part, Elder, let me ask you, what part of Old Town? I mean, what year were you in Old Town when this happened?
It happened around 2013.
Okay.
So that is 4 years ago. And it's about two blocks away from the Playhouse District.
Right. It's a very spooky, I don't know, Chad, if you've ever been to Old Town Pasadena.
I've investigated there. An old auditorium there.
Yes.
I investigated. Really quickly, what did you say happened to you again?
It happened not every day, but it happened at the exact same time.
So what happened? Someone scratched you? Is that what you said?
I felt something grazing my back.
Grazing your back?
Yes. It wasn't a scratch. It wasn't a punch or anything like that. It just felt like something was touching my backside.
Did it leave a mark at all?
A.M. It wasn't every day.
Did it leave a mark?
No, it did not leave a mark.
Huh. You know, there's all kinds of reports of this. I do an evidence presentation on our tour, where for an hour I show like the most intense stuff that we've captured all over the world. And there's a specific piece of footage that reminds me of this, where the mother to my daughter had an upside down, believe it or not, we were on a demonic case, an upside down cross rise up on her skin. Okay.
Oh my God.
It was like a mild burn. All right. And she also had a patch of her face swell up red. And the only thing that happened to her is that she entered into a house of a girl that was believed to be possessed, in which the girl made her way over to her, oddly was connected to her right away, asked her if she was there to heal her, and just touched her face and gave her a hug. And seconds later, once the girl sat back down, this happened to the mother of my daughter. And it was the most shocking thing that I had ever seen. And she said it was merely a graze. That's all it was. It's just she barely touched my face, and this happened. And I believe it had a lot to do with the belief systems of the family. The family was devout Catholic. The reason I was asking if it left a mark on you is because if it didn't leave a mark on you, you're probably just dealing with a garden variety spirit. What I mean by garden variety is a non, you know, negative, non demonic, non, you know, evil type of entity. You're probably just dealing with something that's there that for whatever reason is trying to let you know that it is.
Old Town Pasadena, where Elder is talking about, and you investigated too, sounds like you were about to say the old Pasadena Playhouse.
That's where I've been. Yep.
Yeah, and that place is about as creepy as it gets.
Absolutely. And I sat in those upper chairs in the second balcony. And we had two chairs sit down, like someone sat down on them.
Right.
Like literally, we're just sitting up there, and we heard them, and we look over, and they both just flatten. on their own. Yeah, it was crazy.
Yeah, Old Town Pasadena, especially back in the day, 1984, 1985, that was no man's land. Downtown there now, it's gentrified and touristy, and it's totally changed. But back when I used to go down there, it was a pretty scary place. The alleys, everything was dark, boarded up, nasty, scary, old. It's completely haunted, no question about it. Okay, let's stay on these. Let's go out east to Cleveland, Ohio. Lauren, you're up next on Coast.
Hi, I'm Lauren from Cleveland. This is actually my first time calling in, so I'm actually pretty excited. Me and my boyfriend listen to this all the time.
Right on.
I love your show. I actually have an experience with a spirit board. It is not a Ouija board per se. It's called the Psychic Circle. I don't know if you've ever heard of it. Sure. My cousin's aunt actually gave it to her after she got it from somewhere. I don't even know where. And her cats would have all these kind of like weird experiences every single time that she would like try to summon anything from the board.
The cat would.
Ended up giving it to my cousin afterwards, and we played with it all growing up and everything. And then later on, we retouched base with it within the past couple of years, and it started to take like a real liking to me and my cousin both. And it would, especially with me, it would say different things, like sexually, et cetera. And we would ask, you know, like, what's your name? Who are you? And the board would start to get like, it started to get like violent. And, the planchette would go like all around the board, just in circles over and over. Sometimes it would go off the board, come back onto the board. If we asked it, you know, who are you? It would start spelling out curse words, or it would tell us it's over, it's done. It wasn't going to, you know, talk to us anymore, or keep repeating patterns of like going over the same numbers and letters over and over, or go backwards through the alphabet over and over, or go to different symbols and colors are also on the board. After a while, I started to feel a presence following me everywhere that I was going. And even in my cousin's house, so that was mostly where we used it. I would start to see like dark energy kind of things, like go up her wall, down her hallway. Her dogs would freak out every once in a while. I started to feel it follow me home from her house, or just like in my every day-to-day activities. A couple like negative things would start happening to me during that time period, like financially, et cetera. I was feeling depressed constantly. I eventually started having dreams too, where somebody would be attacking me in my sleep. And I would wake up and I couldn't breathe, and then I'd go back to sleep and it would be the same exact spot where I left off. I also had another dream where there was all of us like just hanging out at the house, and all of a sudden I just went into a basement area, and there was a like a dark presence in there. It was just all I can remember. It's just like a black like spirit kind of presence. And the whole room in the dream lit up red, and I just heard, are you ready to see what I'm about to show you? And then I woke up because I was real freaked out, and when I went back to sleep, everybody was back in the room, and I was like, I need to go talk to that guy again. And everybody was like, what are you talking about? And then I had a couple other dreams where I would wake up, and it would be the way that I would face if I was to wake up normally. And my bedroom door would be open, and I'm like, that's weird. I always leave my bedroom door closed. So in my dream, I would get up to close it, and it was just like real as like day. And something would laugh like really like an evil, sinister laugh, and then like pull me through the door, and I'd wake up and I'd be facing the same exact direction as that would be, but the door would be shut.
Wow, like, Lauren, happening. Yeah, that is crazy stuff. All of it, it seems like it was an attachment, Chad. Could you maybe always go back to a Ouija board or a spirit board like this that was the progenator of the problems?
Culprit. same idea. Something she pointed out that's interesting that the more people should pay attention to, which, by the way, since she's calling from Cleveland, one of my favorite cities in America, the tour is coming to Cleveland at the Hanna Theater, so I hope I see her there. But one of the things that she talked about is her animals. People should pay attention to their animals, cats, dogs, for whatever reason. It has been well documented that animals have definitely the ability to sort of sense when something is in the room. And a lot of times they will sense when something is negative is in the room. I've been on investigations where we have used the aid of a dog. And you would be surprised. Whenever that dog would get just quiet as can be, would get stoic and would start staring at something or following it, we would get our cameras ready. And many, many times weird things would happen. So I think people should pay attention to their animals more if they're around. And, yeah, when it comes back to spirit boards, guides, those type of things, same thing. You're asking someone to be involved. You don't know who they are.
Let's go to back to Ohio. Let's go to Huck because Huck wants to know the identity of Sir No Face. Huck, you're up next on Coast.
Hey.
Hey, what's up, man?
Jimmy, it's been a good 2 or 3 years since I've talked to you, Jimmy. I put a couple links on your Twitter regarding my house and my investigation team for anybody that wants to check it out. Chad, it's a great show that y'all are doing.
Oh, thank you so much.
I'm curious because of the location and what is historically known about the location, is there any way to know the identity of Sir No Face?
The film gets into that really, really heavily. And I don't want to ruin it for anybody that's going to come, but we, you know, Craig and his team and myself, after further kind of delving into this with him, there's something that happens, a massive like aha moment in the movie where everyone is going to be like, oh my God, I didn't see that. And it was something that I caught on the footage after looking over it 1,000 times. That kind of gives a pretty clear indication as to who Sir is. It's not been found to the degree of certainty, but there is certainly a degree of probability.
If you follow me right now on Twitter, everybody, at J Church Radio, go to my Twitter feed. Craig is going nuts with posting some pretty incredible photographs of the island, and he just posted something over there. Everybody should go check it out. Just posted a shot of the inside of the room of Sir No Face. And there you go. Here's one from the room inside of his house. And you're only going to see that right now from Craig. So,
boy, Craig. Love you, Mr. Powell.
Craig is not playing around. I've got time for one more phone call here. So let me see here. I'm going to... This looks good. Okay, let's go to Jody in upstate New York. Jody, you're up next on Coast.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I'm enjoying the call, thank you. And I'd just like to tell you, Chad, I did watch your trailers, so thank you, I enjoyed them.
Thank you.
I'm calling to ask a question and also tell you a very quick story. So my question is, how do you protect yourself from being around all these ghost scenarios? And the reason I'm asking that is that these energies are not energies you want to carry inside you, and some people are vulnerable and they pick up these things, whether they're entities or spirits or demons or cords or attachments, whatever they're called. So just wondering, when you go into these scenarios, how do you protect yourself or make sure that when you walk away from them that you're clean and that you're not carrying any of those things? That's my question. And the story really quickly.
Jody, I got to jump in because we are going to hit a break and I have to say goodnight to Chad.
Okay.
But I will have Chad answer that right now. Chad,
great.
For Jody, how do you protect yourself and how do you know you're not carrying some excess baggage afterwards?
It's a great question. I think for each person it's different. For example, I'm not Catholic, so a St. Michael's medallion wouldn't mean anything to me per se. I have always said something private that I don't repeat that I say, but essentially I ask, you know, the creator to, you know, guide me to follow my own voice. Like, we all have that voice, that fight or flight, that thing inside of us that says, this is not safe, you have to go. I pay attention to that and follow it like, you know, the world's greatest rule. If there is anything that tells me it is time to go, I go no matter what. I've been fortunate to not have anything come home to my house that I couldn't demand out. But different people do different things. A lot of people do spiritual things. But to each person, it's different.
Chad, I want to thank you. What a great conversation. And you're a trooper to do 3 hours with us on Coast. The tour kicks off August 2nd, right, in Austin, Texas?
August 2nd in Austin, Texas through September 10th. Come out and see us, guys. You will be blown away by what you see. It's not only the screening, but it's an all-evening event. Please follow me on Twitter, at AGHChad, and I can answer a lot more of your questions. Jimmy, you're amazing. Thank you so much for the time. And I know I'm going to see you September 10th, if not before, at a barbecue.
Whoa, hey, that's secret information. You let that get out, and we will have some serious issues over at Casa Day Church. Are you doing this tour in a tour bus? Are you doing this rock and roll style?
We are in a tour bus, yes, we are, because we're doing night after night after night after night. It's a six-week tour, like I said, with 30 dates, so there's... So there's 30 dates in 6 days?
That's crazy.
So we're night after night after night. We'll be out there. I mean, one of the reasons I'm doing it, Jimmy, is to stand for this film and to stand up right when it's over in front of a crowd and say, I'm here. Let's talk about it because I know what we have. And I know Craig's story is real. And not only that, like I said, if you're way heavy into this stuff, the evidence presentation, the past projects presentation are not to be missed. We have it's there's nothing like it on the road. There's nothing like it touring. So if you're into the paranormal, this is the place to be. Tickets are on sale now at sirnoface.com.
Thank you so much, Chad Kalick, everybody. Click on his name at coasttocoastam.com. It'll take you straight over to Sir No Face. Go check out the tour. He is the best, Chad Kalick. Now, I'm going to stay with the phones, open lines for the rest of the night. I want to hear about the ghost in your house. This is Coast to Coast AM.